In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Beloved Achen, parents, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a blessing to be with you all this morning. Please allow me to share a few thoughts about the gospel reading today, taken from St. John chapter 6. It begins with Christ making a very bold and amazing claim. I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall never hunger. Now, before we continue, we need a little bit of context about why is Christ saying this? Why is Christ making this bold claim to the people that are gathered there? Earlier in this reading, this chapter begins with the feeding of the 5,000. This is a very well-known miracle of Christ in which he multiplies loaves of bread and fish and feeds thousands of people in a miraculous way. This miracle had a huge impact on that community of people that were gathered there. Many of them were gathered from a countryside. They maybe were not so well off. And for them to be able to partake of a meal like this, to be completely filled, for them was a big deal. It seemed like an answer to all of their earthly problems. People who were wondering if they had food for their families, to be filled like this. They were so overjoyed by this that they even wanted to make Christ king right then and there. And so later on in the chapter, we see them seeking Christ again. They were looking amongst the disciples, trying to find where Christ was, trying to find him again. However, Christ realized, though, that the only reason they were seeking him at that time was so that he might do that miracle again, perform this miracle and give them earthly bread again to feed their bodily needs. So there was a fundamental flaw in their logic. They were seeking the earthly rather than the heavenly. And they were seeking the gift rather than seeking the giver of the gift. I think this is kind of an understandable way of thinking. I think back on myself when I was younger. My birthday was very exciting because I would get a new video game. And it was kind of an interesting interaction. My parents would watch me unwrap the gift, and I would give them a big hug, and then I would disappear into the room, and I would play for several hours. It's kind of interesting, right? I mean, that momentary initial reaction of being very overjoyed, but then immediately it's the gift that was my focus. And I think, you know, as we get older, as we become adults, I think that tendency tends to diminish in us a little bit. We start to become more appreciative of the people. But I think, however, in a spiritual sense, I feel like we still maintain a little bit of that childlike nature. When we pray for something and God grants us some great blessing, some promotion at work or a new house or a new car or just some wonderfully answered prayer in our life, we become overjoyed in that moment, and then we become so enthralled with whatever the gift is, whatever the spiritual gift that has been bestowed. And sometimes we tend to forgive the giver, we tend to forget the giver of the gift. So returning to this idea that Christ saying, I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me shall never hunger. So he's using a metaphor here. We see established there's this twofold understanding. There's material gifts or material food, and then there's spiritual gifts and spiritual food. And Christ is using one of many metaphors that he often uses. He uses things that are very applicable to people. He uses things like agriculture, farming, shepherding, things that the people understood very well. So here he's using hunger. Hunger is a universal experience. We have all experienced hunger at some point in our life. What are some of the things that come with this? We get angry. We get frustrated sometimes. We lose our peace. We stop functioning well. Sometimes it influences our interactions with other people. We can't function properly when we're experiencing immense hunger. I want to remind us all that experiencing this is not what we were created for. In the Garden of Eden, in paradise, there wasn't this experience of hunger. There was peace. There was harmony between God and man and God and neighbor. These things such as hunger were introduced when mankind decided to separate themselves from the grace of God. And this is not so much a punishment as it is just the natural consequences of separating ourselves from God through disobedience. However, God is merciful, kind, and compassionate, and even in the midst of our disobedience, he uses these consequences for good. What do we mean by this? See, the material creation then becomes a vehicle for understanding spiritual things. Father Sergius, the head monk at the monastery at St. Ticons, said this line that always stood with me. It is through the material that we arrive at the spiritual. It is through the material that we arrive at the spiritual. See, physical hunger helps us understand what it is like to be deprived of God in a spiritual sense. And similarly, earthly food then reveals to us what it is like to be satisfied, to be satiated, to have that sense of peace and order be restored to our physical bodies. Now, there is nothing wrong with this. This is a task that is God-given to us for us to tend and keep our bodies and keep our bodies sacred as temples of the Holy Spirit. This is a good thing to be able to take care of our bodies. However, this cannot be the only purpose of our existence. Taking care of our bodily needs is just a starting point. It is to help us to understand and to move towards a more spiritual manner of being. And this is why Christ, of course, takes care of everyone's bodily needs in the midst of the miracles that he does. He did give them bread, physical bread, for them to begin to understand, to take, hopefully challenge them to take the next step. Okay, where can we move from here? We were created for so much more, not just the temporal life, but for eternal life. We were created not just to be consumers, but to be communers. Not just to be consumers, but to be communers. What does this mean? For us to be in perfect communion with God and with our neighbor, with each other. The life of being in communion is a life of thanksgiving. It's a life of sacrifice. And we just participated in the body and blood of Christ like we do every single Sunday. But there are many ways that we do this. Today I wanted to end this homily just by saying a brief word about fasting, because we find ourselves in the Apostles' Fast, which ends next week on the Feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. And, you know, during my time at seminary, I encounter many wonderful quotes and things that people say, and I try to keep a mental record of them. And so one quote about fasting that really stood out to me, so someone said that those who deprive themselves of fasting, so those who don't fast, they are the ones who are truly starving themselves. Those who deprive themselves of fasting, they are the ones truly starving themselves. And there's a double meaning there, because what the meaning of this statement is, that those who are not depriving themselves of bodily foods are actually starving spiritually. And I'll give somebody a Starbucks gift card if they can guess who said this amazing quote. Was it a teacher? Was it a monk? Was it a priest? Was it one of the desert mothers or one of the desert fathers? Do any of the kids want to take a guess? That's okay, I'll give you the answer. It was actually a prison inmate. It was a prison inmate who said this quote. We had the benefit of doing 1 year of prison ministry at SCI Waymart, and this was a prisoner who found Christ in prison and became a Christian, and he took on the practice of fasting, and this was the conclusion he came to through his experience of fasting. And I was so humbled and so moved by these words of wisdom that came from a prisoner. See, we are initiated into this life of communion, through the sacraments, but also through the medicines of prayer and fasting. And it is through fasting that we reestablish the appropriate relationship with the material creation. Like I mentioned, in this life of being communers and not consumers. So what does that mean? So obviously through fasting, we become less consumerist, naturally, because we're spending less money on rich and expensive foods, and we are able to give that money to the poor. But then we also become communers with God and man through the practice of fasting. So how does that happen? Well, first of all, when we experience hunger, when we're fasting, we take this time to not think about our own hunger, but maybe we can take a moment in that time to really sit in that experience of hunger and think about those in the world who experience hunger quite often, those who are homeless or those who have to worry about what they're going to eat for dinner because they don't have enough to bring home for their families. We can take a moment to really think about our neighbor when we experience that hunger. Or it can also improve our experience and our relationship with God, because when we feel that physical hunger, we can take a moment and contemplate what this is, somewhat what it feels like to be spiritually hungry. This is what it feels like to be deprived. And then we really come to understand how dependent we really are on God for Him to provide us with all the earthly blessings and provisions that we need. So brothers and sisters, let us keep these encouragements in mind as we complete this fast. And may God continue to strengthen us in all that we do. For He is holy now and ever and into the ages of ages. Amen.